Our passage for today comes from Isaiah, 44th chapter, verses 6 through 8. Before I read these verses, I want you to realize the setting. The setting is all about a courtroom and God bringing evidence. Okay? It's all about a courtroom and God bringing evidence. Listen to what God says. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. The topic of God in our society and culture right now is something that kind of has a definition for each person. And everyone tells you about what their God is and what God means to them. And there is nothing wrong with us sharing about what God means to us. But the truth is, there's only one God. There is only one God. God brings evidence that God is the only God. There is no other. That's the reality. But for many people in our society, there are multiples of gods. There are multiples of things that they put on the top shelf to say this is the most important. And some of these folks, I believe, don't think through what they've thought about. For some people, family is their God. Family is the most important thing forever. Now, if you haven't learned, family will always, at some point in time, disappoint you. Right? Amen. It happens. Even with the best of intentions, there are some who will disappoint. Some people put their job as their God. And they are known as workaholics. They can't step away from their job without continuing to work on it, continuing to do it, and I'm willing to say this also, continuing to do it every day without a break. In spite of any other relationship in their life. There's a reason that God said rest one day out of seven. Now, I'm not such a staunch supporter of that one day has to be Sunday. Because really, by Scripture, it's supposed to be Saturday. And that has never been changed. Okay? We worship on Sunday because we are recognizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what I think is important is that work never becomes your God. Other people never become your God. Your society, club, whatever you're part of, should not be the top shelf thing. Because God is the only God. There is no other. And not only in this scripture, but in many scriptures, God is the A to Z of all things. God is the A to Z of all things. In the book of Revelation, it says what? Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Guess what? That's the Greek way of saying A to Z. Okay? That's the beginning letter in their alphabet, and that's the last letter in their alphabet. That's what it means to say, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the A to Z. Psalm 119 is a wonderful song, incredibly beautiful in the Hebrew, because the first eight verses all start with Aleph. They all start with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The second ones all start with Beth, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And what the psalmist is saying is, I love God's word so much, let me tell you from A to Z. God is the beginning of all things, and God is the end of all things. God is in the midst of everything, and God is around everything. Over and above and beside, in front of and behind, there is God. There's not a thing that's not held together by God in this world. There is not. You guys know that by trade, I'm a scientist first. My first degree is in forestry, and I'm a scientist. And I learned how to be a very good scientist, but let me explain to you that some science makes no sense. Do I get an agreement with that? Okay. Some science makes absolutely no sense. And I'm just going to go with the very simplest little thing, an atom. In the center of an atom is all these positive and neutral charges, all together. But part of science tells us that like, what? That like components push away from each other. That opposites attract. So have you ever sat down and thought about how do all these positive ions stay together? They're all compact right in a very little small space. Why are they not repelling each other? Because God holds them together. There is no science that can explain how those are held together. They're only held together by God. Because like charges repel one another. Did you ever think about that? Probably not. Just us scientists people think about things like that, trying to explain and trying to understand things. You see, God is the A to Z. God is the everything. What do you need? God has it. What guidance do you need? God has it. What wisdom do you need for walking your life? God has it. You've heard me say this before. Don't come to me and ask me what new self-help book you can buy at the Christian bookstore. Because I'm just going to look at you and ask you if you got a Bible. You don't need what the new bestseller is at a Christian bookstore. It's all in your Bible. God has already given us the resources that we need. God has given us the Holy Spirit we need to have the power and the energy to do what we need to do. God has already provided the way for our salvation. God has already provided a deepening and ongoing relationship, if we want it. God is the A to the Z. In this passage, God also does one more thing. God invites anyone to explain about what is to come and how it will happen. God invites. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Okay, yes, we have people in the world foretelling what will come. Quite often, they end up being wrong. Maybe they get some of the details right and some of the things right, but quite often they don't get everything right, do they? But God says, I know. I established my people. I set them on the path that they're on. I explained how they were to live, and I explained to them the end result if they live the way that I asked them to. Right? Is that not what the Bible tells us? God is the only one who knows that. There is no one else. And I'm not even going to talk about end times. Probably want me to, right? Scripture says that only God knows when that will happen. If somebody tells you they know when it's going to happen, they're lying. Because nobody knows. God is the only one that has that timetable. God's the only, Jesus even said, I don't know. Only the Father knows that. So Jesus said, hey, live your life instead of looking for that. Live your life instead of looking for that. I'd like to read a good portion of the rest of the chapter, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give that for you to do, and I'm going to kind of give you a condensed thing. Because in Isaiah chapter 44, starting in verse 9, right after where I stopped, on to verse 20, God explains the senselessness of all other gods. God explains the senselessness of all other gods. Here's the part of the passage that really gets to me. And I'll tell you what thought I had this week as I was reading it. God explains about how other gods were made by man. And then in one, someone goes and cuts off a piece of a tree, brings that piece of tree home, cuts down that tree, or cuts that down to take part of that to make an idol. And they decorate it and make it well and put it upon a shelf, and they call it their god. The rest of the wood that they took, guess what they use it for? They use it for the fireplace in order to cook their meal. And God says, how foolish is this? Because the god that they made has eyes but cannot see, has ears but cannot hear, has a mouth but cannot talk, has nothing. The craftsman is the one who made that god. Now, here's the thought I had this week. If that's how you make gods, how did he know which piece to burn and which piece to make a god out of? And might he have used the wrong piece? Now, see how silly that is? He used this piece. Should he have used this piece? Was this the piece that was God and not this piece, and this piece should have been burned? God says this is senseless for building your own gods. But we have people that do it every day, don't we? Amen. People every day making their own gods. Whether it's the government. Okay, I know you guys aren't making the government your god. But there are some people who do, don't they? Some people who make a political system their god. Some people who make the laws their god. Some work, some family, some whatever club or organization they're part of, some whatever hobby they're part of. Are these gods? For me, the definition of God is what you devote most of your time to, your belief, and your trust in. You see, I know the God of all the universe. is going to save me and take me to heaven one day. I already have my salvation, but I know one day I will be resurrected to be in God's presence. And I will be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. There is nothing else that can cause that to happen. There is nothing else that can save me. There is nothing else that can protect me. There is nothing else that can give me guidance and wisdom and understanding like God. The guidance and understanding and wisdom that God brings is far above anything else. Why do people look other places? I can't imagine a day without talking to God. I can't imagine. And I don't know how people in this world walk that way. Never giving a thought to God. Never speaking with God. How do they do it? I can't imagine a day like that. There's only one God. And that God is the God of A to Z. There is only one who can save us. And Jesus came to open that way to us ever deeper, to see it even further. There is only one. There is no other. God is the only rock providing a stable place to base the living of life. God is the only rock providing a stable base for the living of life. That's it. I can base my life on anything else, and it's always going to be a little mushy. It's always going to be a little unfirm. As I talk with people about discipleship and learning about discipleship, you need to know what you're aiming for, don't you? If you don't know what you're aiming for in life, you'll never hit the target, most likely. Never hit the target. Let me take this one step more. If you never stand on a firm place, you'll never be able to hit the target either. You've got to have a firm place to stand. And to me, that firm place is God the Almighty. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The God that we worship as three in one. The God who created all things. The God that sustains all things. The God that protects me. The God that watches over me. The God that brings me wisdom and insight. There's only one. Anything that I can put on the shelf will never equal God. Never. No matter what it is. No matter what we make most important in our lives, it will never be better than God. Are you standing on a firm place? Do you know the rock that you can stand on, that will be firm and that will carry you through? Do you know the ability that God has to give you guidance and help you and bring you instruction? Do you know the only God who can save? I think in one way Jesus said it best. In John chapter 14, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Now, people can say they can find truth in other ways, and they can say that this is my God that helps me and leads me and guides me. But Jesus makes it pretty clear. Unless you believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you, you can't know God. Unless you accept that, you can't know God. You can make anything else in your life that you want God. But will that God save? I would encourage you to spend some time in this chapter reading verses 9 through 20. Because it's continuing this court session that's going on. Where God is saying, here's my evidence. Here's everything. And here's what other people are standing on. And here's how senseless that is. Do you know the rock that you can stand on? Did not Jesus tell a parable about this? About one man who built his house where? On the sand. And one man who built his house on the rock. And the storms came. And what happened to these two houses? The one on the sand fell. I grew up in Virginia Beach. It's a place called Sandbridge in Virginia Beach, which is a beautiful place. I don't know how long it will be before the people in Sandbridge realize every time you build a house on the sand and a storm comes, it's going to be gone. I know people that rebuilt their houses down there 2 and 3 times. And I'm kind of like, why? And I know people who have built their lives that way on shifting ground. And they keep finding things collapsing on them. Are you built on the one and only God? Are you built on the one who's A to Z? Are you built on the firm foundation? Or have you crafted something else? In senselessness to be your God. Do you have a relationship with God? The one who is the only rock for life. The only one. Do you have a daily, growing, ongoing relationship? Like I said, I can't imagine not speaking to God in any one day. I have a tendency not to use amen at the end of my own personal prayers. Because the conversation is never over. It's ongoing throughout the whole day. And sometimes it's just saying, God, I need help. The song that the choir walked down to was It Is Well. And my whole thing that I've been crying out to God this morning is, God, it's not well with my soul right now. There's something not at ease. Show me where to stand on the rock. Show me how to find that firm place to stand again. Because there's something that feels like it's shifting. Show me, Lord. And I haven't stopped that prayer this morning. Even while I've been preaching, I haven't stopped that prayer. Show me that place. How about you? Do you know the solid rock? Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you acknowledging who you are. Acknowledging that you are the mighty, the all-wonderful, the A to Z, the only one who's a rock that we truly can stand upon in this life. So Lord, help other things to fall off to the side. Help other things not to have center stage in all that we do. Help us to see that you are the one true God, the one that we should proclaim, the one that we should witness about, the one that we should stand on at all moments, in all times. And Lord, I pray for those not only here today, those watching on Facebook, those in our community, for those that don't know how to stand in a firm place upon the very rock that you have established for us in Jesus Christ, I pray that you would touch their hearts in such a way that they would come to find a place to stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.